Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Bills running away now.
You're listening to the best of the Bills.
Touchdown, the first play from scrimmage.
A weekly mix of WGR 550's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Seattle's got to make a stop. Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to throw it back to Goff. Who had that on the bingo card? Touchdown, Lions.
Thank goodness there were two games last night. I'm going to put a sign in my yard. It's sign in your yard season. Sign in my yard. Monday night doubleheaders.
You're in?
I want Monday night doubleheaders every week. Yeah. Imagine if it had only been Titans Dolphins last night.
That would have been tough.
Horrible.
Although, what if it was only Lions and Seahawks?
Okay, that's the same. You just watch that one.
Right.
The week before, it was Bills Jags game for impartial observers, 34-0, right?
The second half was over.
It's half a game. Yeah, you just turn it off.
The first half would have been fun. And then you had Jaden Daniels and the Bengals slinging it out.
Give me Monday night doubleheaders. I'm into it. Convinced. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Tuesday. Jared Goff caught a touchdown pass from Amon-Ra St. Brown. The Lions looked real good last night. So did the Seahawks to some point. I mean, their offense was good. DK Metcalf. I'll talk about receivers that are fun to watch. There were three in that game last night that are fun to watch. Maybe more. Amon-Ra St. Brown is my favorite to watch, among my favorite. DK Metcalf is a monster and fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And Jameson Williams, I know you have him in some dynasty, right?
Yep.
If you held on to Jameson Williams, it is paying off. He is doing what they drafted him to do. It took a little while to get there.
Yeah.
Injuries, gambling suspension too, I think.
Last year was the gambling.
But
yep.
He's good. And the Lions look the part.
And he is super fast.
Yes, he is.
Super fast.
Jameson Williams, we've waited so long on him. At one point, we wanted the Bills to draft him to go with Diggs. As part of this offense. Get a speedy receiver like Jameson Williams. Anyway, here he is. He looks good. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. What's real? What's no big deal from this Bills-Baltimore game? Seen any real hot takes come out of it? Is Baltimore getting too high on themselves on it? I don't think so.
It is funny that some have been calling Baltimore now the best team in the NFL.
Rex Ryan, I saw yesterday, called Baltimore the best team in football.
It's like they did lose the Chiefs 3 weeks ago. They lost to the Raiders at home. It's very much just a whoever looked good the day before is the best team in the NFL type of league.
Yeah,
for some.
Pretty much. Jay on a cell phone. Hey, Jay, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. What's real is, you know, we got a lot of role players, and they're all mediocre right now. And, you know, nobody's emerged yet, and we're waiting for somebody to emerge. And in the meantime, defenses don't have to gear up for anybody but Josh Allen, who took a beatdown physically on Sunday. And he was Superman a couple times. But, you know, and I don't want to turn this into a Hardy versus, you know, our new shiny toy. But, you know, Hardy got over the top and gets in the end zone with a highlight reel play, and now defenses have to respect that. And we haven't done anything like that. You know, we've given no defenses anything to have to respect other than Allen.
You mean Worthy on that, right? Worthy getting over the top?
Or Worthy, Worthy getting over the top. And it's like, even though that's just one instance, it's something you have to respect. And the Bills have yet to do something with a player other than Allen that you have to give that kind of respect to. And, you know, this past game really just kind of highlighted that.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Jay. What can do that? It's you're really down to one name here. I mean, teams know Kincaid can play, and they know Shakir can play, and those guys live in the same part of the field.
Mm-hmm.
What the Bills' offense needs for a little bit of a jolt here to get maybe some pressure or some attention off of those two is they need it to be Coleman. They need him to come along quickly, right? Show that you can work on the outside, because I think it's unlikely to be MVS. MVS is going in to do one thing, run straight down the field. Last week he had like a little hitch, okay, that didn't work, was incomplete, it was open. And Hollins is not going to be anybody that good defenses are too afraid of. It's Coleman, which is probably how it was always going to go. If your receiving core was going to be you were all happy, it was going to be because somebody rose above their expectation. And for MVS and Hollins, the expectation is modest. For Coleman, it's probably a little higher. And if he can push past that, then they'll be in good shape.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to, I know you can't really do this, but pushing a little fast forward on Coleman would be nice.
Yeah. If I were a defense, I think I would want the Bills throwing the ball to Mac Hollins, right? Wouldn't that be part of your game plan? Is you throw it to him. Maybe Baltimore just did that, by the way. Singled up coverage, is that why the ball was going there? Because Baltimore was paying less attention to their other outside receiver and saying, okay, go ahead, throw it to him. Throw it to him on the outside, one-on-one, that's fine. We'll give him one-on-one. Let's see if you can execute that. Like, to me, if I were a defense playing the Bills, that is exactly what I would do. I would take Shakir away at the line of scrimmage. I would dare guys to beat me deep. To really just take away the middle of the field, right? Because I've got Shakir and Kincaid living there. And go ahead, throw it to the boundary. And if I can pay more attention to one of the boundaries, I guess it would be Coleman. Coleman's only catching the jump balls, but like those are happening. Right, he's caught. How many of his catches so far are just, there's a guy right there, but he's got position?
Three of them are contested body control sideline catches.
And maybe his three biggest catches so far. Well, the touchdown was one where he just got open. But
those are the two routes he ran in training camp.
Right.
And those are the two routes we've seen so far. The others, you know, those quick little stops against zone. 803-0550 to join us if you want to. The Texans this week.
Do you consider them a team that is going to exploit Bills' weaknesses like Baltimore just did?
Not really.
Isn't a lot of what Baltimore did like just we are physical and we are going to run it down your throat? And the Texans are, I'm not even saying this in a bad way, I like this sometimes, but they're more of a finesse team, right? They're throwing the ball a lot.
That's probably right. I
mean, Week one, they were
finesse, running, maybe. I mean, they've got Collins, who's a bully out there, a true number one, one of the best, maybe best five receivers in football. Tank Dell is a firecracker, and Diggs is going to be their, I mean, Diggs has been their second receiver because Dell's been hurt. Diggs is not going to be the game breaker for them, but he's definitely been a part of their offense, an important part of their offense. Like you say, he's playing the Beasley role, and we sometimes use that as a knock against what Diggs might be doing, but we all know how big that role was here.
Yeah.
Playing underneath.
It was huge.
And the Bills are going to, I mean, he's probably going to get a bunch of catches against this Bills team. I don't know if, like you said, might be seven catches for 62 yards.
Right.
But will he extend drives? Maybe.
Because the guy there you don't want to let go off against you is Collins. Because Collins, it is big plays. He does stuff with the ball in his hands after two, but it's just, he is down the field, he is open, and he also does have, because he's huge, he's giving you the Coleman stuff too. He'll get open on you, and then if he's not open, he'll still go up and jump the ball above you.
I think Tank Dell is that too. I mean, look at Tank Dell's explosive play rate. Like, that guy's, he's good. He's small. They've got two guys that do it. One big, one small. 803-0550. And then there's Stroud. Here's a redemption for McDermott game, right? He's got run all over by Derrick Henry and the Ravens. Okay, maybe the Ravens are a little bit of a different team than most. Houston is a good weapons, good quarterback. It's kind of like a Joe Burrow game here. This guy can make all the throws, and he's got the weapons out there to make all the catches. Can you stop him? Can you do that? How many guys do the Bills play like this that are this good? Mahomes is a little different, right? Mahomes is extending plays, pulling your hair out. This is just flat out, can you scheme and make it tough on C.J. Stroud? They did against Trevor Lawrence. No, the Bengals are, or sorry, the Jaguars are 0-4, so they're having their troubles. Mm-hmm. But Trevor Lawrence can make all the throws and has pretty good weapons, and the Bills locked him up.
Yeah.
So a little bit of a redemption game here for McDermott and Bobby Babich. If they're able to make C.J. Stroud look like he doesn't have it, which this year's not exactly been a great gangbuster second season for Stroud yet. It's been good, but maybe you might have expected more.
I mean, even the Ravens
game. He's got 6 touchdowns in 4 games.
Stroud. Yeah.
That's low.
Yeah. That's way lower than he was last year, I think, at this time. Like, he was lighting it up, I think. The Bills, though, like, aren't they kind of designed defensively to limit a team like this? Like, even they are, what are they best at, maybe? They're best at, if you have a team that has top receivers, the Bills are going to do a really good job at smothering them. They've done it with the Dolphins and Hill. They did it in week 1 against Marvin Harrison Jr. And they did it against the Jaguars for the most part. The Ravens, like, that wasn't their bread and butter. Do you want to know how many times the Ravens completed a pass to a receiver in that game on Sunday?
Let me see. There was 1 to Flowers.
There was one for 10. Flowers was okay. 1 for 10 on Sunday.
And I don't know if Bateman caught one.
He caught 1 for 23.
Okay.
On 1 target.
And who else? Is that it?
Aguilar had 2.
Okay.
So 4 passes.
Went to receivers.
Went to receivers in the Baltimore game. And that is, again, the thing the Bills are maybe best at limiting. So here comes Houston, and wouldn't you want to bet on Nico Collins having his worst game of the season? I'm not saying he'll do nothing, but part of that is he gets like 100 yards every single game. But wouldn't you want to bet on him having his worst game of the season?
Well, it's a good opportunity for Douglas and Benford.
Right.
Who's in for Taron Johnson? Like, who's covering Diggs?
That's unless it's Taron Johnson.
Right.
If he's back, which might be huge, right? Because that guy is probably covering Diggs this week.
803-0550. More of your calls. If you're on hold, stick with us. Mark and Jay, hang tight. Jeremy and Joe, happy Tuesday. Monday night doubleheader. The Dolphins are, I mean, just it's the saddest season. Do you feel bad for them?
No.
You decide.
No.
You don't have to. And then Detroit. Are you happy for them? Yes.
Yes, I'm happy for. I'm happy Detroit has got a relevant football team.
Yeah, consistently.
And it looks like it's here to stay, like yeah. Them being relevant.
Yeah, good job, Dan Campbell and Detroit. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coach Sean McDermott's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Automotive. For whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown.
Sean McDermott joins me now on the West Her Hotline. Good morning, Coach. Happy Friday to you.
Good morning to you, and happy Friday to everyone out there as well.
We are just getting ready for the Sabres today at 1 p.m., Coach. We're within 2 hours of their season, the puck dropping, and they're going to be over in Europe today. Pretty cool, right, to start the season here? I know you get a little excited when you see the Sabres play out there, and I know you're a big part of watching them.
Yeah, we're excited once the hockey season gets rolling, and we're excited for the Sabres and the organization and Lindy and Kevin Adams and I know they've been hard at work to get this thing rolling and off to a good start, so can't wait to watch.
It doesn't matter what sport you're playing, right, Coach? When you have those that first game, we talked about this before the opener against Arizona in football, and we were talking about Pee Wee and Pop Warner in high school. I don't care what sport you're in. Everybody's 0-0. You're feeling fresh about yourself. It's a pretty cool feeling, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's a fresh start, and it's just a lot of excitement around the team and what they've been doing the last couple of years in terms of building it, and I'm excited to watch this season, hopefully be in attendance for a couple games with my family.
All right, Coach, let's go to a very important Barnes injury report today, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash, for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. You have plenty of names that we can get to here. I'll let you tell us if you're going to declare anyone out for the game officially as of right now on Sunday.
Okay, here's what we've got. So okay. This is the update. We've got Austin Johnson. These are the players that will be out. Austin Johnson, Taylor Rapp, Khalil Shakir, Ed Oliver. Everyone knows about Vaughn, and that is it right now. That's what we have right now. And then Taron Johnson will be limited, as well as Terrell Bernard with practice today. And we'll see. They'll be listed as questionable on the report. So we'll see how they do here today and on into the game.
Okay, so when you say they're out, these players you gave me, the five, including Vaughn, obviously, are out for the game, not just today at practice.
Correct.
Okay. With Ed, obviously it came up yesterday, a hamstring issue. He had not been on the injury report. Can you give us an update on him and what happened there?
Yeah, just a hamstring injury, going through a drill early in practice and, you know, felt something there and came off the field and went right into to the examination.
Okay, so defensive line, obviously, now something you have to address. You have by signing Zion Logue. What can you tell us about the new player you signed a little bit earlier this week off the Atlanta Falcons practice squad?
Yeah, rookie off of Atlanta's practice squad. He got here Monday or Tuesday. First practice was Wednesday. So he's had 2 days of practice in our system. This will be his... effective, which that's what we're going to do. This will be his first game action. So he's done a nice job over the last 2 days, and you know, hopefully this is a player that we can grow and develop over the course of time here.
Sean, you said after the game you wish you had, I think, 5 hours it was, to watch the film to figure out, you know, what happened on Sunday night. So let's go back to that real quick. And after you did watch the film, however long it took you and when you did it, what was your takeaway from your team's performance on Sunday and why things broke down?
Well, we didn't play our best game, right? So we didn't perform at a level that would have allowed us to win the game. And that's, you know, playing and coaching both. You know, that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about perform. Mm-hmm. So that's something we can control. And you can't always control the result, but if you play at a level that gives you a chance, if you perform at a level, again, I should say that gives you a chance to win, that's what you can control. So, we've made some adjustments this week, hopefully the right adjustments in terms of some good conversations among the staff, coaching staff with players, so on and so forth. And those are the adjustments that you need to be able to make within the course of a season, week to week. And so yet staying consistent as much as you can in your overall approach. So we go back out there today to have a good practice and continue to improve our football team.
I'm glad you went there, because that was kind of leading into my next question, actually, which is sometimes you'll hear coaches or players say, well, we just have to flush it and forget about it, move on. Of course, you have to move on. But what I always hear coming out of your locker room is, hey, we have to be honest with each other. We have to have good conversations, have to have honest conversations. Sometimes they can be uncomfortable. What is the key to turning it around if you have a night like that and making sure that, you know, it doesn't happen again and doesn't pile on the next week?
Well, I think you've got to start with an optimistic approach and a vision, right, for things. And then, as you mentioned, Sal, you try and uncover what exactly caused us to perform that way, and then you address the things that you can. Now, there's some things that are outside of your control that you can't control, right? What the opponent does, some of the injuries, what have you, but you control the things that you can, and that's what you look to, that's where you look, I should say, to make the adjustments. And you know, the journey of a season is about, you know, tweaking here, making an adjustment there, and then going out and getting back at it. I think consistency is important from an approach standpoint, but not from a, hey, we're afraid to have those truthful conversations, because if you do that, you're living lies and you're not really giving yourself the best chance to improve week to week.
Sean, Josh Allen was named AFC Offensive Player of the Month. What can you say about your quarterback and his start? And you know, I think we brought it up last week. He just seems very much in control and command right now. But what you've seen from Josh through the first month of the season?
Right, you said it, especially the first three games of the season. So he's been in command and able to manage the game, offensively for us. And we've been playing good complementary football up until last week. And so we've got to get back to that. And also keeping him in a position where he's able to do that keeps him fresh, right, and less sore than he was this past week. So that's also an added benefit when you're playing a certain way, and not just offensively, but collectively in all three phases.
All right, here we go. The Houston Texans on Sunday, a really good team, obviously. The storyline, locally and nationally, playing against Stephon Diggs here. I know you've been asked about it many times, but what did Stephon mean to you and the organization through the 4 years that he was in Buffalo?
Yeah, Steph was a really good player for us, and we won a lot of games when he was here. And earlier in the week I mentioned this. He's a really good player for the Houston Texans now, and our focus needs to be where it needs to be in order for us to perform at a higher level to give ourselves a chance to win. So it's gonna demand all of our focus on that and that only. So I'm sure guys will be able to say hi to Steph before after the game, and that'll be great. But we've got a job to do at the same time.
Another reunion here. Jerry Hughes, 36 years old and still going, Coach. What do you say about Jerry when you were able to coach him here in Buffalo? He's a big part of that defense when you first came on.
Yeah, he was great. And what more could you ask for in your first year as a head coach than to be around a guy like Jerry Hughes and his family? And we love him, and just really cool that he's still playing. And it just goes to show you what a professional he has really grown into. And, just happy for him, happy for his family. He's from down there. And so to be, playing for your hometown team as you finish it up is I think if we all had it our way, we'd love to do that, all of us, right? So yeah. Good for him and his family.
All right, C.J. Stroud, I mean, one of the most historic rookie seasons ever last year for an NFL quarterback. What do you see from the young quarterback on film?
Yeah, very impressed. Obviously, our first time going against him, and very impressed with his development, how quickly he reads things, how quickly he gets the ball out. The success that he's had is by no mistake. So it'll be a big challenge for us, for our defense, and then collectively as a team.
And then last one for you, Coach. Up front, obviously, they've kind of done a really nice job to rebuild. And from where they were, Will Anderson, they get Danielle Hunter, of course, coming over. What do you see from that front and the challenges they present?
Yeah, I mean, they've got some players that are some of the tops at their position or close to the top that are difference makers, players you have to game plan for. So it's something we have to be aware of and know that, hey, they've got those types of rushers out there that you do have to game plan for and be aware of when you're building a game plan. So that'll be, at the forefront of our minds as we head down there.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
James Cook flips into the end zone for the touchdown. Fires down the right side, looking for Coleman. He's got it, and he's into the end zone. Khalil Shakir for the touchdown. Hand off to Davis, looking for a hole, and he is in. Josh Allen with a 6-yard touchdown.
1, 2, 3.
All right, that's to get you hyped here on a Thursday. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. Thursday edition of One Bills Live. Our thanks to our intern, Avon, who put that hype video together.
She's doing great.
So, love it. Getting you ready. Big matchup here in week five. And Bills trying to get back on the winning track.
It's been a long time since Buffalo has beaten the Texans in Texas.
There have been some unfortunate performances down there.
Yeah.
I was there for the last victory, though. That was the two-touchdown game by Lee Evans.
265 yards or something.
J.P. Lossman with a game-winning touchdown pass to Peerless Price, I want to say.
Wow.
That was a while ago.
It's been a minute.
Because we have the...
Lee Evans had two TDs.
Yeah, he had the two touchdowns, but I believe the game-winning touchdown was to Peerless Price, I think. Yeah. Yes, we were also there for the E.J. Manuel interception to J.J. Watt that went 60 yards the other way for a touchdown.
Mm.
That place got loud after that happened.
Wow.
That was during J.J. Watt's heyday of
three defensive MVPs. Yeah.
And we've got, obviously, the 2019 playoff game, up 16-7 and losing in overtime.
That's right.
So there is a little bit of revenge to be exacted in that building. I think it's still called Energy Stadium. Here, I got it right here. Let me see if I look into this. What do we got?
What are you looking for?
I think it's still called NRG Stadium.
I believe it is, yes.
And even though it has a retractable roof, it is rarely open.
Well, they just don't.
Which spells a colossal waste of money. Like,
I know. But there's always that time. Well, they do have, it was closed for the Super Bowl.
It's almost never open.
Well, yeah.
Do what you will. The money flows freely in Texas, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, don't. It's a beautiful stadium. It really is. And it's funny because I played in Houston for the Oilers back in the day, and the Astrodome is still there. And the eighth wonder of the world, as it was once known, looks like a speed bump.
Yeah.
Next to Energy Stadium.
The new place dwarfs it easily.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a great stadium. It's very nice. It's got the sliding roof, like you said. It's state of the art. Yeah.
They do. I will say this, too. From a media perspective, the media will eat like kings this weekend.
Yeah.
Their pregame spread is among the best in the league, and their halftime spread is almost as good.
Yeah,
like some teams really go all out before the game. Other teams go all out with the media offerings at halftime. Houston, I will say, they do a nice job.
A lot of brisket, I suppose. And
there's all kinds of stuff. They had these mini pecan pies, like single serve mini
yeah,
pecan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Holy moly.
Oh.
Now, I like myself a pecan pie, but they know how to do it there for sure.
Yeah, the pecan pie is very nice. Yeah, you say pecan or pecan in your neck of the woods.
Well,
because it's different.
In the Northeast, we usually say pecan. But now that I have family that lives in South Carolina, they've kind of told me it's pecan.
It's pecan pie, yeah. I grew up in the illustrious state of Kansas. They have, in the town where my mom and dad live and one of my brothers lives, they have the Walnut Creek, and they have pecan trees everywhere down there.
Oh, nice.
And so
I wouldn't have guessed they would grow in plentiful supply in Kansas.
Nor would I, but they do. And
okay.
The pecan festival or whatever.
Is that a cash crop out there? Probably not to be a crop.
No, that is not a cash
crop. Not enough
crop.
To be a crop.
Yeah. But pecan is, in my opinion, it's one of the most underrated nuts out there. Very good. On ice cream and all that and pie and all that. That's a great.
My mom makes candied pecans around Christmas time.
Yeah, yeah.
Just as kind of like a little, you know, in a bowl. You know, you got candied pecans in a bowl. You just kind of use, because I've made them with her before, you just grab egg whites and then you have brown sugar, regular sugar, all that mixed stuff together. Maybe some cinnamon in there.
Pecans are awesome. They really are. I recommend them. Unless you have a nut allergy, then don't touch them.
They're a tree nut, right?
Yes.
Because they're on a tree, right?
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough. Because peanuts are in the ground. Peanuts are in the ground. There's nuts that are in the ground, and there's nuts that are on trees.
Right. What did we get on this? Oh, yeah, the halftime offerings to the Texans. Great stadium. Not a team, because it's one of those teams where, and you'll know what I mean, there are some teams that you get good, like since the Bills have had Josh Allen, you seem to see him all the time, right? out of division teams that you seem to see all the time. And then there are others who you don't see because they're not good at that time. So they're playing the fourth place schedule and they're out of your division, and you're playing the first place schedule. You never cross paths with them. The Chiefs, out of the division. They're not in the division with the Bills, but the Bills see them all the time every year because their ascent matched the Bills almost identically, right?
Oh, yeah.
Lamar Jackson, the Ravens, same kind of thing. Cincinnati, some of these teams we see every year that aren't in the division, and it's because, you know, they got good at the Texans. No, they have not been good. They were like 2-14, 2-15, got the first pick of the draft a couple of times. Now they hit on their draft pick. Now the Bills are going to start seeing them a lot, I would think. Don't you think they're going to be one of those?
In all likelihood, it'll be interesting to see how long they can keep this roster together. I mean, you have Stroud on his rookie deal, so he doesn't cost you. And so that has allowed them to spend money elsewhere, like acquiring Danielle Hunter, you know, and, you know, the trade for Diggs and all the other free agent moves that they made this offseason, because they were very busy in acquiring talent. And so I haven't taken the time to look at their cap situation for next year and the year after that, but be interesting to see if this is something they can hold together while Stroud remains on his rookie deal. That's the plan anyway.
I just got a notification that yes, pecans are a cash crop
in Kansas. There you go. That's why I asked. You know,
no.
Go do it. Mm. Your AFC Offensive Player of the Month is Josh Allen. Everybody,
Let's go.
This marks his third career Player of the Month award. He also won it in September and December of 2020. Allen's performance in the month of September is as follows. Led AFC quarterbacks in total touchdowns, passer rating, touchdown to interception ratio, and tied for the most passing touchdowns. His 101 pass attempts without an INT are the most by a Bills QB to start a season since Joe Ferguson in 1976.
Fergie, way to go. Nice.
In week three, became the first quarterback in NFL history to complete 75% of his passes, throw 4+ touchdowns, no turnovers, no sacks, and lead his team in rushing yards all in the same game. That was obviously Jacksonville in week three. And in week one, he tallied his fourth career game with two or more passing touchdowns and two or more rushing touchdowns, tying Steve Young for the most all time with four such games in his career.
Let's have more Jacksonville games and fewer Baltimore games. How about that?
Oh, I'd sign up for that.
Yeah,
I would sign up for that.
I think you can tell we've kind of turned the corner from the sting of the Baltimore loss. We're making jokes about everything now. Let's getting ready for Houston. I'm thankful that this game is at 1:00 on a Sunday. I'm looking forward to the build up to it. Just the schedule works out good. I'm a 1:00 Sunday afternooner.
Yeah.
Even for away games.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. But this game, hard to get ready for it because I'm not, and you are, I know you are, because you do the play-by-play and you go down these guys and you meticulously build your spotter boards and you get into how good the Texans are, who are their good, who's playing well for them, who's not. Not for me. I am
not for me.
No, that's not for me. I'm not interested in anybody but the Bills. I mean, I like C.J. Stroud. To me was a really, and you and I both know this. We both kind of I told you so to everybody. saying he was going to be the guy out of that draft class, not Bryce Young, not any of those other. Not
we Levis, were worried about Bryce Young being too small and fragile.
Yes, and he may be, but his offensive line is one of the most efficient offensive lines in the National Football League in Carolina, by some analytics I've seen, and yet they couldn't do anything with Bryce Young taking snaps.
Yeah.
And now Sam Darnold gets in, and all of a sudden, you know, look, they win a game and they look good doing it. So I'm, yeah, C.J. Stroud and the Texans are, they're hard to keep. It's hard to keep track of those teams.
Well, yeah, because you don't see them too terribly often, right? Just, that's kind of the whole thing.
I mean, they're not like the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs may as well be in our division, right? I mean,
incidentally, concerning Sunday's game, I saw the uniform combo on the Bills social post, and I am excited. I love the all-white Stormtrooper look.
White on white.
And that is what the Bills are going with Sunday in Houston. The Texans are wearing these, I think they're alternate jerseys.
Is it a battle red?
It's like some kind of red, and like the numbers look space age. They look like they're out of a space cartoon or something.
I haven't seen them.
They're, from what I understand, they're very much love-hate.
Oh.
Down in Houston. There are, I think the kids love them.
They're like black licorice.
But the well, yeah. But the traditionalist footballers in Texas don't like the uniform at all. So it's a little bit of a divide there on the uniform, and the Texans will be wearing that on Sunday. This week's game at the Texans is presented by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the NFL. We will get you today's practice updates in just a little bit here.
They are wearing black.
We have to, yeah, it's like a alternate thing.
Yeah, it's all black, and it's got silver outlines around the jersey, around the numbers, and
well, it's kind of like it's their.
No, it's this
navy.
Right here. Look, it's all.
Yeah, it's like a.
That's.
It's nuts. Anyway, yeah, I hope I can see those red numbers because our perch at Energy Stadium. Suffice it to say, we're in the crow's nest.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I've done. Yeah, those are hard. Yeah. Are they going to start doing that with we've had this conversation before. What do you think? When is the league going to say, wear what you want?
Oh, and have no regulations?
Yeah.
Because you do have to put in for those.
It's like 2 years. Yeah, it's like a year and a half in advance.
Like, hey, we're planning to do this. Well, we need to get the necessary approval. You know, you got to send it to the office. And
when are they going to, you know, when are they going to relax the rules on what teams wear week to week?
I don't think they will.
Because, you know, in soccer, they do. They come out in all these cockamamie.
Yeah, they have alternate kits.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I know.
So why, you know, and, you know, if they're trying to, you know, they're squeezing every dime out of this, somebody's going to buy those jerseys every week.
As long as people keep buying them and they're a revenue generator, they're going to keep making alternative jersey kits.
Well, yeah, that's the whole point.
Yeah. Because the soccer teams make money on it every time. I mean, every single time. That's why they do it. So as I was saying, Bill's practice updates are presented by LECOM, your Lake Erie College of Osteopathic Medicine. There is some good news on the Bills front, Steve. Deion Dawkins, who missed practice yesterday with the hamstring injury that he came out of the Baltimore game with, is back on the practice field today. Daquan Jones, not on the practice field, but fear not, it is a vet rest day. Also not at practice, Austin Johnson, who's going to miss a second straight day with the oblique muscle injury. Khalil Shakir, not practicing again today with the ankle injury, and Taylor Rapp remains in concussion protocol. So Khalil Shakir's availability for Sunday, not looking great right now. So
yeah.
I would say, and we were talking about this yesterday before we came on the show, Steve, in the scenario in which Shakir is not available for Sunday's game, they're going to have to call up a fifth receiver from the practice squad, and I think you and I believe that will be Tyrell Shavers, who was very close to making this roster
right
at the end of the preseason. So he is on the practice squad, and he can also help you as a gunner on special teams. So I think he would be a possible candidate. You got the other new guy that they signed.
Virgil.
Jalen Virgil, who I think could be a possibility. So we'll have to see If, in fact, Shakir is down Sunday, who is the practice squad elevation?
And here's the thing, too, with Shavers. That does throw a wrench into a little bit, because if you're going to have the guy up, Joe Brady will know what how he wants to use him. Shavers is big. To me, if you're trading out Shakir for Shavers, you're going to give Shavers a package, maybe a red zone package because he's so big.
Right. And we would assume Samuel replaces Shakir in the
slot,
right? That's right.
And that, yes. We're taking that for granted. I don't know that that's true.
No, we're just making a we've got a hypothesis on that.
Because of the skill sets we've seen them be used in already in this offense. So, yeah, Shavers is a little bit of a wild card because you get him in there, it's like, okay, I've been waiting for a guy like, you know, he's big and he's a matchup problem. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, because we've seen it happen before. Remember when Andy Isabella used to be up for a game, they'd throw him the ball a couple of times.
Right.
He'd get a couple of targets. So if Shavers gets targets, it'll be interesting to see how they get matched up with in the Texans secondary because he's really big.
Yes. They do have big corners, though. Like Kwame Lassiter, their rookie corner is 6'1", and he goes about 205. He's
right.
He's big and super athletic. He's a rookie out of Georgia. Texans injury report Wednesday was weird. They did not list what their injury afflictions are. They just listed the players and their practice participation. I'm hoping they corrected that on their website since I posted this morning on Twitter. But we told you yesterday that the reports out of Houston were that Mixon was practicing yesterday. He didn't.
Yeah.
When the report came out, it said Joe Mixon did not practice, and neither did his backup, Damian Pierce, the number two running back, along with left tackle Laremy Tunsil and rotational defensive end Derek Barnett. Limited in practice yesterday, Tank Dell, along with starting center Juice Scruggs and starting safety Jimmy Ward. There are some other backups that were limited yesterday as well, so we'll have to keep our eye on Houston's practice availability when it comes out later this afternoon. But I think we were feeling like, oh, it looks like Joe Mixon's going to be up and play. And that might still be the case.
Yeah.
But he did not practice yesterday, and he's missed the last two games. So,
yeah, it's still early in the week, though. I mean, he could still come out there today and practice. And it's
and all would be right with the world.
Yeah, nobody's making any game day decisions today on a Thursday. So, but it is kind of weird. They thought he was going to practice. He didn't.
Yeah, and then they just randomly didn't have what all the injuries were for each of the players. They just forgot to type them in, I guess. I don't know. Let's go around the NFL, presented by Kaleida Health, the official healthcare system of the Buffalo Bills, and we begin with the Texans because, as expected, the Diggs facing his former team storylines are popular in both Buffalo and the Houston media. Down in Houston, Diggs was asked about the matchup and said the following concerning his approach to the game this week. Quote, block out the noise. A lot of other people are going to feel a certain way or have a lot to say about XYZ, and I don't mind. I'm not mad at it. Just trying to go 1-0. Obviously, they're a good team. They have a lot of guys that can fly around on the defense, but they're a really good team, so I look forward to it, end quote. Meanwhile, his quarterback, C.J. Stroud, was asked about it and chose to speak only about Diggs' time on the Texans roster, but his quote was a bit curious, Steve. Here is how he characterized Diggs' arrival on the roster. Quote, it's been great. I think he got a bad rap just by the media and by people, Stroud said, but he's been nothing but just amazing to this team and his teammates. He's helped me out a ton. As you can see, we're clicking more and more every game. So I'm very happy for him, and I'm glad he's finally having fun playing the game and doing what he loves to do because he loves football a lot. What the hell is that? What's that last sentence, Steve? Now he was unhappy here? They could not have done more for him here in Buffalo. Where does that narrative come from? Seriously.
Yeah, I don't know what he was unhappy about here in Buffalo.
If C.J. Stroud is saying he's finally having fun playing the game and doing what he loves to do.
Come on, man.
That, to me, says Diggs has verbalized that to C.J. Stroud in some way, shape, or form. Because why would he have that opinion?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's right. And he says, so he's just really, really happy to be a part of his journey, and just being around him has really been awesome. Hey, Steph was a great dude. The guys here liked him.
Yeah. And said as much yesterday.
Yeah.
When they were addressing the media.
But it was time to move on for both parties. And mostly, and it's an economic decision.
Well, it was an economic decision. And let's just call a spade here. Playoff production decision.
Right.
His last two playoff games for the Bills, he got shut down completely. 3 for 7 yards, like. And right. the ending to the Chiefs game didn't go too well for him either.
That's right.
When That's a play right. was there to be made on a ball dropped right in his hands. So.
Yeah. I get it. And I get it, too, because C.J. Stroud is sitting there watching him and say, the guy seems really happy. It's great. And you know, why wouldn't he? I mean, it's great. But it's, you know, I hope they do become friends, because he's got Steph for about 15 more games, yeah. And that's going to be about it.
Right. Speaking of receivers, two NFL teams high on Devontae Adams' wish list of places to land if he's traded by the Raiders. To no one's surprise, the New York Jets and New Orleans Saints. ESPN's Adam Schefter is reporting that Adams ideally would like to play with a quarterback he knows. The Jets have Aaron Rodgers, who is Adams' former teammate in Green Bay. The Saints have Derek Carr, Adams' former quarterback 1 year with the Raiders and in college at Fresno State. The Raiders have informed other teams they would consider trading Adams for a package that would include a second-round pick and additional compensation, whether that's a player or another draft choice, who knows. There have also been reports that the Bills were among the teams that have called the Raiders. Typical due diligence, I would assume, by Brandon Bean, probably to inquire as to what the asking price is. As we mentioned on the show yesterday, it would be a sizable amount of money to take on for Buffalo, which has limited cap space this year, as well as future money in 2025 and 2026 on Adams' deal. So I think I'm safe in lumping you in here, Steve. We'd be surprised if the Bills could even make it work unless the Raiders take on most of Adams' salary to move him.
Right, unless it's most of Adams' salary this year to move him. The Bills could do it next year if they so desired, because they've got all the cap space coming off the books. But
yeah, but they also got to sign Allen to an extension.
And here's the thing, too, that the Raiders may do that for the Bills because they don't want to trade him to, like, the Chiefs, right? The Chiefs are interested in him. They may do that for the Bills or the Jets if they don't want him to go to somebody else. Because we had a couple of callers yesterday, and you hear this all the time when players are moving around. Bills fans, well, let's get him so he doesn't go someplace else. Right, so he doesn't go to Kansas City, or he doesn't go to.
You can't think like that, though, as a
right.
GM.
You're not going to sabotage. You're not going to help yourself by sabotaging somebody else. It just doesn't work like that. So, but if you're the team with Devontae Adams, like the Raiders, they certainly don't want to trade him within their division to Denver, or to San Diego, or to L.A., or to Kansas City. So that's three teams off the top right there. That kind of thinking goes into it, and if they want to go the extra mile for Devontae and they say, we'll take half the salary this year and trade him to you, then they can say, all right, then that opens the door for the Bills or the Jets or the whoever, the Saints, Dallas. People are clamoring for him in Dallas as well. I mean, all that's possible, and the Bills, no doubt, laid out the parameters for how they would see it happening. But that says nothing about what you got to cough up to the Raiders for doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Raiders are going to take half his salary or all of his salary or most of his salary, that goes from a fifth-round pick to a second-round pick or a third-round pick to a first-round pick? If we're going to have to pay the guy that's playing for you $27 million, you're giving us a number one.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the way it works.
Yeah. If you want to feel sorry for a player, feel bad for Jalen Phillips. I know he plays for the Dolphins, but man, oh man, what a string of bad luck for him. He kind of got the Tre'Davious White treatment as far as injuries are concerned. He just did it in reverse.
Right.
As we remember, Tre'Davious White tore his ACL and then last year ruptured his Achilles and his time with Buffalo ended. Dolphins linebacker Jalen Phillips is going to miss the rest of the season because of a partially torn ACL. The team confirmed this yesterday. Phillips initially suffered the injury during Monday's loss to the Titans when the helmet of Jordan Poyer collided with his right knee while trying to tackle Titans running back Tony Pollard in the second quarter. Phillips escorted to the locker room, further testing, and re-entered the game. Doctors determined if as long as he wears a brace, he can't do any more damage to what already happened. So he came back, played, but then left again, and his season is over. This on the heels of rupturing an Achilles last November, which I got to tell you, I was impressed. He came back from a ruptured Achilles and was ready to play week one this season. So to see him have a partially torn ACL, that just sucks for him.
That's
so
too bad.
It's like Josh said a couple of weeks ago, it's the worst part of the game. You know, it's just...
Absolutely.
Just feel bad for him. And the hits just keep on coming for the Dolphins as far as injuries go.
Yeah, you feel bad.
They are a beat-up crew right now.
Bad for the player and for the organization, not so much.
Yeah. To fill you in on what's coming your way here on today's show, we've got ESPN NFL analyst and fantasy football expert Field Yates joining us with his ultimate fantasy lineup. That's coming up in about 5 minutes. Second hour of the show, the Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas joins us in studio, so we'll catch up with Thurm, see what he thinks the Bills can do to bounce back from last week's performance, and if players get to the post-practice podium before we are off the air, we will bring those to you as well. So, chock full of nuts edition of One Bills Live here today. We take a break now, but when we return, it's Field Yates giving you the best lineup you could possibly think of. Coming up next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health, it's Buffalo Bills Radio.
Be caller 5 at 716-221-4WGR. That's 4947. To win a pair of tickets to see comedian Mr. Derek at Rob's Playhouse Theater Saturday, October 5th. That's this Saturday. Mr. Derek was recently featured on the Joe Rogan Experience. He's one of the fastest rising comedians in the country. And we have your chance now to win a pair of tickets to this show. Visit robsplayhousetheater.com for details. Was it funny?
I wasn't doing the act.
I'm sorry.
I'm chuckling because I didn't catch the date, but they just flashed. We got the Astros Tigers on here. It's the bottom of the ninth. Bases loaded. Two outs. It was 3-0 going into the inning here. Houston has scored once already, and of course they're threatening here, but with two outs, they just flashed a graphic that said, teams trailing 3-0 entering the ninth inning of playoff games.
Or by 3 runs.
By 3 runs. Thank you. Are 1-538.
Yes.
It's like,
16 Cubs.
The last 539 times this has happened, one team has managed to pull it off.
To win the game.
So let's see what Houston can do here. I don't know. Wow.
We'll keep you posted. Jason Hayward at the plate for the Astros. Ron is with us. Hello, Ron.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Yeah,
regarding the trading for a wide receiver is what I wanted to talk about, if I could.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at Davante Adams, I mean, I heard you guys talking earlier about the large size of the contract. From what I've read, he's only got $13 million left guaranteed. That's this year. That's just in game checks, $990,000 a game check. You're losing Von Miller for 4 weeks. There's four game checks that are probably similar. You can go back and get bonus money from Von or a portion thereof. And they want a second round draft choice and an asset. Great. You send them the second round we picked up last year or for next year, and give them an asset. Give them our first round defensive back that we're not using. Give him one of the wide receivers off our roster. Boom, you're paying for Davante Adams. And then you move over to Cleveland, and you got the situation with Amari Cooper. They signed out all his salary and bonus. He's got $1.5 million salary this year. So the hit's going on Cleveland. It wouldn't go on Buffalo. Go get these guys. Let's win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, Cooper.
You want to know both runs? I'm really asking. Want both?
I'm 59 years old. I've suffered my entire life. You know what I want them both.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
Did Ron sound a little bit like Rex Ryan to you?
No.
The whole time he was talking, I'm sitting here thinking, this guy sounds like Rex Ryan. All right. My ears are bad. Or mine are. Or yours are. Either way, we don't have to agree on that. Cooper's a lot easier. The Adams thing, yeah, like the contract, I think you can work that out. It looks scary, but there's an out after this year. Like, nothing's guaranteed. So it's not as cumbersome as maybe I made it sound earlier. We'll get maybe more definitive word on all this in about a half an hour. Mike Jannetty from SpotTrack, one of the best cap websites out there, is going to be with us at the top of the 6 o'clock hour. All this going on with Adams and Miller too, because this caller Ron is suggesting, you know, the Bills can use that Miller. I don't know if they can use the Miller money. Miller's going to miss out on salary. I don't know that the Bills get cap relief because a player's been suspended for 4 games. I'm not sure how that works. I'm guessing Mike will be able to fill us in on that too when he joins us at the top of the 6 o'clock hour. But there's ways to do it. You know, you could even, I was reading another one of these sites, Jason from Over the Cap. I don't know his last name, but that's his Twitter handle, Jason OTC, Over the Cap. They're like, the Raiders could pay a bunch of the salary and then demand more in the trade. So that's a way to do it too, if the cap figure is problematic, because not every team in the league has what is right now $13 million. The caller is right. It goes down by almost $1 million each week that tolls, you know, as the season goes by here. So next week it's 12, you know, you get the idea. So like there's ways around it if you have the appetite to do it. I just don't know about a 32-year-old player with that, even at that price now. And if you get the relief on the contract, then you're talking about, I think, a more premium asset.
First, I want to say quickly, I love always, you know, it's fun to do, but often with these trade ideas, you come up with it, and part of it is a player that you just have no use for that you want to just assume another team would want, you know, like Elam in this case. Like, mm-hmm. Just give him the asset. Like, who? MVS? Like, who is it the, right. The Raiders are supposed to want? You know,
they've already had Matt Collins on their team.
Yeah, right. Like, but I think all of it misses the point. I don't think money is the point. And maybe I'm just being lazy. The point is, what have we been watching them do and say, listening to them say, every single day when it's come up all summer and now fall? Everybody eats. This is going to be different. This is going to be better. I like having receivers who don't care about stats. This is optimal. They lost one game. Think about how you felt about them a week ago. I'm not saying you had to not want them to trade for a star wide receiver, but come on, I was in the stadium. It was perfect. He's throwing the ball to every Ty Johnson, you know, Coleman, Shakir, Kincaid, doesn't matter. They're all catching everything. That's a blowout by halftime a week ago. And now, like, hey, I'm 59 years old. I'm okay. Right. Just like the point isn't the money, I think. It might be. The point is, this has been an effort that they're in the middle of to win and play a different way. And I'm not sure it's failing yet. I mean, Baltimore beat them badly. But are we saying that now? I've been so stuck on the offense and how, I don't know, is it the Bills or is it everybody? Like, nobody's throwing the ball as well. What have we got? And that's part of this too. But they weren't losing, you know? Like, the fact that Josh Allen is throwing 25 passes a game isn't getting them beat. Far from it. They were the best team in the NFL a week ago. And now, what they're supposed to do, I don't hate it, just saying, now what we expect the Bills to do, if that's how we feel, is bail on the, as you've been saying all year, experiment of, you know, these all different guys. And, I mean, it's not even just strategy. It's the whole concept of how that's like sort of fostering a better team atmosphere. Diggs leaving, all this happening in place. It's culture stuff. It's not just X's and O's.
This blows that up. And does that make it a bad idea? Not by itself, no. But it does. It blows up everything that they have been advertising about their philosophy this year. Okay, I'm just not sure the Bills are the kind of team that would want to do that. You know, right now, 3-1 in first place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even whether they'd want to, final point, they'd have to want to more than the Jets would. And more than the or the Chiefs would, or the Ravens.
Or Washington.
Or Washington's fun.
Any other, yeah.
Like, they'd right. have to beat the competition for that move, assuming there is competition, and I would assume that.
I would assume there would be competition, too. And I know this is going to sound. I don't want them to do it. I'm not saying I don't want them to maybe trade for a receiver. But I think to make this work money-wise, you're getting to assets that I don't want to be spending on a 32-year-old dude. I like the Amari Cooper idea a lot more. And now, I don't know, because Cleveland has already done that. You know, so they don't have to do you the favor of eating money. They already ate it. That still could drive the price up, because they're selling a premium asset that costs you very little on your cap. That's really convenient for you. How do you make them whole? Well, you have to give them maybe a little bit more in a trade. But Cooper, to me, it's going to cost you less money. It's still, he's not Davante Adams. It should cost you less asset-wise, even with the contract stuff. And that idea appeals to me more. But even like right now, would I make that trade? No. I want to see a few more weeks of this. I'm still where I was after the Jackson. I mean, it's you know, I've taken a hit here after the Baltimore game, so I'm less sturdy on see it through. But I don't want to bail on the whole plan after one bad game, just because some guys are available.
Let's go to Nick next. Thanks, Ron. Nick, go ahead.
Appreciate you guys having me. Just to start, I'm not in the overreacting bucket. I think we played a good team on the road. They were desperate to win. It was a night game. It just didn't fall our way. So you got to take your lumps. I wish it was a little bit more competitive. With the receiver conversation, I don't know if Adams, Cooper, I've seen DeAndre Hopkins' name floating around. I'm not saying that we're tied to him, but yep. I'm not sure if those are the guys that are the missing piece for us. Sure, they're great wide receivers. To your point, they're older. I think we're missing speed. I think we're missing yards after catch. I think the way that we are adjusting a little bit and throwing some of those more mid routes, you need a guy that can take it off and go. I watched a good amount of football this weekend, and two plays that stick out is when the Chiefs needed a third down, they had Worthy go across the middle on man-to-man coverage. No one could keep up with him, and they got the first down. And then Jameson Williams last night caught one over the middle and just took it to the house. And I feel like that's what we've been missing. A lot of the times our receivers are catching the ball and they seem to go right down, which is fine. We're making the catches, but I just don't think that the guys that are being mentioned are going to provide what we're not having right now.
Okay,
so,
good points.
I don't think the point about yards after catch, they don't have Jameson Williams on their team or Xavier Worthy, but they were second in the league going into week four in yards after catch. So they're getting yak way more than they used to. They don't have that high-end stuff. Like, I don't think there's anybody in that room that's going to run away from everyone the way a Jameson Williams or a Xavier Worthy can. Not that Worthy ran away from everyone on that play. It was a first down to help them ice the game, actually. I think they kneeled from there, if I remember correctly, the play the caller's talking about. But obviously, Williams last night. Anyway, the point is, the Bills have not been suffering. They actually greatly improved in yards after catch so far this year. Shakir is the kingpin for that point, and he's hobbled. I mean, he was in a walking boot after this game Sunday night, and we'll see what tomorrow brings with him as far as like his availability. But that's a guy that they're already, as much as they're not leaning on one guy, like he's the guy for that. Like, he's the yards after catch guy, and he is their leading receiver right now.
That clicked a song lyric. That's Wheat Kings, Tragically Hip. Let's see what tomorrow brings.
Oh, all right.
How about that? Just, I don't know what good reminded deal. Me of that song, which I love. Okay, let's take a break. Mike Jannetty of SpotTrack coming up at 6. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Chris Brown's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
by Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hard-working men and women.
Football Friday. Go to the Wester Hotline for our weekly chat with Chris Brown. Play-by-play of the game Sunday, 1 o'clock from Houston. He'll be in the booth with Eric Wood, Sal Capaccio there as well. I have it here on WGR. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, guys.
It's a big one Sunday. We were just pointing out that, you know, the Bills play the Texans, the Ravens, the Chiefs. The Texans play the Bills, the Ravens, the Chiefs. All these teams, maybe the four leading candidates for home field advantage and the first round bye, like, it's week five. But I feel like we're going to be talking about who won this game going forward for the next 5, 6, 10 weeks.
Yeah, we probably will. I mean, we're talking about division winners, right, from last year, and they're playing first-place schedules, and I think that's the test for Houston. I mean, yeah, it was nice that they won the division last year, but they were playing a last-place schedule. So, you know, now you're playing a first-place schedule. Can you still hang with the big boys when you're actually playing the big boys? That's the test for the Texans. For the Bills, this is old hat. You know, they've been playing first-place schedules for the last 3 years.
Yeah, I think the test for the Bills here, you know, Baltimore, maybe that's the phrase people are using is a unicorn matchup where they test you in ways that not many teams do. For Houston, it's a good group of receivers, it's a good young quarterback, and I'm kind of like ready to lean back on Sean McDermott, Bobby Babich, and what they usually do in the passing game, whether that's against the Dolphins, against Kyler Murray earlier this year, against Trevor Lawrence. Like, this defense generally has the answers to stop teams in the passing game, and this is the next test. And for me, I feel like it's an opportunity for a bounce back, if I may, after the loss last week.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And, you know, the Bills under Sean McDermott since 2019 are 18-5 after a loss. They've only had one set of back-to-back losses each of the last 4 years. So when they lose, they very rarely lose again. And I think it's just, you know, part of the process that Sean McDermott talks about all the time. And I think the players feel like they just didn't bring the energy to last week's game to match what the Ravens put on the field. And I think that has them redoubling their efforts to have a much better performance on the road this week. And, you know, at its core, the Bills' defense is designed to stop the pass. And that's pretty much the only thing the Texans are doing well right now. So I think it's strength on strength, which, yeah, to me is a much better situation for Buffalo.
And I think, you know, light boxes, this will be one of these games. The Bills have done this in the past where they will very much, I think, invite Houston to run. And you mentioned Houston's not running it well, and they might be down their top two running backs as well. So Houston will have to use their strength to pass into the strength, even though the Bills are inviting the run.
Right. And I think if you look at Buffalo's pass defense specifically, I mean, Christian Benford and Rasul Douglas have been outstanding. Yes, you've been without Taron Johnson. Cam Lewis, I think, has been, you know, decent there at the position in Taron's absence. So, you know, if it becomes a matchup-type game, I think you at least feel good about what Benford and Douglas have done chiefly, and then even Cam Lewis. So hopefully that all works out, you know, in terms of defending their passing game.
How do you think the Bills will do sufficing Von Miller not being in there with their pass rush? He didn't play a lot last week, Chris, but before that, obviously, he had been super impactful as an edge rusher.
Yeah, there weren't a lot of pass rush opportunities last week, right? I mean, they were getting first downs before they even got to third down, the Ravens were. So you can kind of understand why Miller's snap count was down. But I'll tell you, I'm very excited to see Javon Solomon with more of an opportunity here. Believe me, I'd prefer to see the veteran Vaughn on the road, especially, you know, in his home state, probably amped to play the game. That's not an option. So, you know, Solomon played sparingly against the Jags, and he has a sack strip fumble in the game, granted against backups at that point in time. But Laremy Tunsil, even if he does play at left tackle, is not 100% healthy. He's been playing hurt the last couple of weeks and obviously has not been practicing fully this week. So if he plays, he won't be 100%. And Solomon is a player that has impressed his teammates. I mean, Greg Rousseau we had on our show, and he pretty much, I asked him, you know, who's the most impressive player in your room? And he said, Javon Solomon, just because of the strength he has with his hands and his ability to bend around the edge. So I think with extended action, I'm excited to see what he can bring to the table here. And then I think Tuhill and Smoot, you know, they're not pop-off-the-film players, but they're reliable, steady-Eddie-type players, and sometimes that's just what a defense needs when you lose a player the caliber of Yvonne Miller.
Chris Brown on the Western Hotline as we gear up for Texans and Bills. Chris, a lot of the conversation this week has been about whether it's Davante Adams' speculation. It's been about the receiving core and what the Bills can get out of this. And Shakir banged up is not exactly good news. We'll see if he's able to go. Whether it's Coleman or Samuel, you know, the question we're asking today in a Twitter poll is, like, everybody eats, which Bills target do you think should maybe get a little bit more on their plate? Because Samuel's usage so far has been a bit surprising. Kincaid has run fewer routes than Mac Hollins. I just found that stat there for you. Came across on Twitter feed. Like, who do you think the Bills and Joe Brady might get an eye on getting a little bit more involved?
Yeah, I mean, logic would say Samuel, right? Just in terms of the kinds of routes we've seen Shakir run, those are kind of in Samuel's wheelhouse. But then you have to remember that Coleman was used a lot in the slot at Florida State. So I'm very intrigued to see how Joe Brady draws this up this week if Shakir can't play. And, yeah, you're right. Samuel's usage has been a little curious. It's been on the light end. I think a lot less than we anticipated, you know, coming into the season. So do they choose to go with the veteran player on the road, giving him that role, or do they put the rookie in a new role that he hasn't really done, at least from what we've seen, within the scope of the offense? I'm tending to think he leans toward the veteran here to make plays, but maybe if it doesn't work through the course of the first half, maybe he does switch gears and put a bigger target there in the middle of the field in Coleman. We'll have to see.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Coleman in the slot, because his draft profile, there were plenty that liked him all over the place, and there were a lot of people that liked him as a big slot. And I wonder, you know, this might come down to, you mentioned veteran versus young guy, might come down to how sure they were Shakir's going to miss. Again, we don't know that yet, but if they had an idea on Wednesday Shakir's going to miss, then they could spend the week trying to get Coleman ready for that job, and that could really boost him and give him some opportunities. Yards after catch, too, because there's another place, Chris, where we know Coleman has the ability yards after catch. So if it's, he used to return punts, and if you want to get the full skill set from him on display, back shoulders are nice. Back shoulders never going to be a yards after catch play, right? So to maybe give him the opportunity to show what he can do with the ball in his hands, maybe that is a spot he could step in for Shakir.
Yeah, it's possible. I will say, though, that the top three cover players for Houston are very impressive. Kwame Lassiter, you know, and then along with Stingley on the
Derek
outside.
Stingley, yeah.
They're really good players, but I think the most underrated cover man is Petrie. He plays safety, but he is their full-time nickel, and it's a role he played at Baylor, too. He was like the Swiss Army knife of the Baylor defense. He's actually a former teammate of Terrell Bernard, and Bernard was even talking about him this week. He goes, yep, he's doing everything he did at Baylor, and he's doing it really well. Petrie is an excellent nickel corner. I think he's very underrated, so it kind of tells me, you know, if try the veteran there in that matchup. If you don't think that's going to work, maybe attack Petrie with size with Coleman and see how that goes.
Yeah, what we've spent a lot of time here, Chris, on the matchup, obviously. The Texans kind of on the overall for the season. Like, how much of a threat do you really see them as in the AFC? Because they had all the hype. It's not perfect, though, this year yet. Like, it hasn't looked... It's sloppy. I've seen that term used about them a bunch. They actually, like, point differential-wise, I think they're third in their own division. But the rest of the division really actually doesn't look that good. So they might cruise to that, and maybe they'll be a team that, as long as they figure it out by December and January, you might have to put them on that upper echelon, even if they're not looking great, just because I feel like they're going to cruise to winning their division.
Yeah, I think it's a haven't-put-it-all-together type situation for them. Because they have the horses. I mean, their roster is ridiculous just in terms of the talent they've been able to assemble there. Nick Caserio's done an outstanding job of mixing, you know, vets in with young players.
I mean, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter off the edges. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's they're probably the envy of a lot of teams with the amount of talent they've been able to put there. But that's what you can do when you have a quarterback on his rookie contract. I mean, he hasn't even turned 23 yet. I think that happens this week coming up. Stroud, you know, we've seen this before, guys, right? You got a great quarterback on a rookie contract. You can spend a lot of money elsewhere. I mean, the Niners did it, and now Houston's doing it. And, you know, they're hoping they can get to the promised land before they have to pay Stroud gigantic money, which will probably be, God, $65 million a year by the time he's up for contract. So that's what they're trying to do here. And I think they're just trying to pull all those pieces together. And there were a lot of new pieces there. They haven't done it yet. Let's hope it continues, at least for this week.
Chris Brown. Thanks, Chris. Enjoy the game. We'll chat on Monday.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Enjoy the game.
Chris Brown will be on One Bills Live. Have you this afternoon as well. Bills and Texans. We'll talk with Texans play-by-play man Mark Vandermeer coming up at 9 o'clock in front of the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy. Jeremy and Joe on a Football Friday on WGR.
You know, he's getting treatment, won't practice today, so anytime someone doesn't practice, you are concerned. Came up in the game naturally, and so we had to manage things a little bit there. But I'm proud of what he was able to do in the game and push through it like he did.
That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott talking about the team's injury outlook. Specifically, that's on Deion Dawkins, who did not practice today. He's going to be maybe a little bit on edge, waiting to see what the rest of the week brings with him. Speaking of injury reports, the Houston Texans, a little bit of confusion today, because I thought earlier, and we talked to what was our guy's name? Will Kunkel. Thank you, Zach. Will Kunkel from Houston back in the 4 o'clock hour and said Mixon hadn't practiced. And I'd thought maybe yesterday that the outlook was that he was expected to practice, but their official injury report is out, Houston's. And, in fact, Kunkel was right. Mixon did not practice. Neither did Laremy Tunsil. He's got an ankle injury. Mixon's also dealing with an ankle injury. It's only Wednesday, so we'll see. Another running back, Damian Pierce, who we talked about with Will, did not practice. Elsewhere, Tank Dell was back on a limited basis. The expectation is that he will be available for this week's game against the Bills. But Mixon bears watching, and I'd say Laremy Tunsil, too. Jimmy Ward came up towards the end of our conversation with Chris Trapasso just now. He also was limited with a groin injury. Those are, to me, those are the key names on the Bills' opponents' injury report. Mixon certainly bears watching there if he's still struggling to get back on the practice field. But again, it's only Wednesday, so just like I said with Deion Dawkins, he didn't practice today. No one is saying he's not playing, so I don't want to make assumptions about Mixon or Tunsil at this point. But both listed as not participating. 803-0550 is the number if you'd like to get on board here. We've spent a lot of time here talking about the receiver room and Devontae Adams and whether or not you want to stick with Everybody Eats, or as Mike likes to call it, Everybody Snacks, or like say, hey, let's go get a Hall of Fame receiver to plop onto the roster. Been some good conversation on that. And we'll continue on the phones now. Winton is first up this segment. Thank you for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, how you doing, Bulldog? First-time caller. I'm going to talk about the experiment year a little bit here. If you look at teams like the Chiefs that kind of won without a premier number one and maybe the Golden Age Patriots, one thing they kind of had in common is they had premier coaching. They kind of overshadow the lack of maybe receiver talent. Mm-hmm. They scheme guys pretty open. They make the right decisions in crunch time. I love McDermott, but I think record shows crunch time decisions have not been the best. So with that being said, I think we need to go try to get Amari Cooper or Adams if possible to try to keep as much talent around Josh as possible. And that's all.
All right, man. Thanks. Appreciate the call. Thinking about the coaching,
And pivoting to McDermott and his decision-making, which, you know, certainly it's not out of bounds by any means, but I sort of expected to hear something about Brady and whether you think, like, the scheming, because the schematically, the advantage the Chiefs appear to have with a guy like Andy Reid there, and that they can get by, of course, they have had Travis Kelce, too, which, you know, helps mitigate not having a true number one receiver since they traded Tyreek Hill a couple of years ago. What you're looking for is a guy who's calling the plays and designing your offense week to week, specific to that week's opponent, that can find an edge, find an advantage, and exploit something. Make them uncomfortable, make them make choices, and push them that way. And yeah, it's too early for me to say that the Bills definitively have that in Brady. I think, like I talked about late in the conversation with Chris Trapasso, the signs are encouraging early on here, I think. You know, of course, everything kind of got derailed in the Baltimore game. But I like some of the design, the easy button throws, and that's kind of why I want to keep going with the first great experiment of Josh Allen's career and not pivot to, oh, I got to go get someone to replace Diggs. I want to see this through, at least get me a few more weeks here. I mean, it's week four. I've got Houston and New York on the road, then I'm home for Tennessee, and then I'm out to Seattle. If I come through that and I look more like I looked in the first 3 weeks than I did against Baltimore, I'm not really going to have much urgency myself. That's just me. Like, and I know January might be different, but I feel like if you're thinking about them needing to find an advantage in their coaching, I would worry a little less right now about McDermott and his fourth down decisions and be thinking about what Joe Brady can do for Allen with the personnel that's here right now. Because I think the early returns have mostly been positive, even with a big, nasty blowout loss in there. Alex is next up. Hi, Alex. Thanks for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, thanks for having me on. So, taking a step aside from some of the X's and O's conversation, and I miss, usually listen a lot, but I missed some of the conversation today, so I'm not sure what was said, you know, stemming from these Von Miller suspension. But in my mind, I really struggle to continue to be a fan of a player like that and cheer for them, because I go to all the games when, mm-hmm. you know, these, if we think there's a legitimate investigation that was done by the NFL here and there's merit to what they're saying. You know, I understand from a legal standpoint, he's not, you know, facing more charges. But from an investigation standpoint, this is concerning. And I don't think we should support as an organization a player who, you know, puts his hands on a pregnant woman. And there's concern there. And I don't know if there's anything to this, but in my opinion, we move on from this guy, regardless if he's a Hall of Famer. I don't want to cheer for him anymore. And if there's anything we can use as a bargaining chip to go get a primetime wide receiver like Devontae Adams, I don't know. Maybe there's nothing that numbers-wise that actually supports that. Yeah. But I don't know if there's anybody calling for moving on from this guy. I mean, he doesn't represent the values that I think the organization represents. So that's the problem. Yeah.
All right, Alex, I appreciate every word you just said, really, and I feel it. It is a tremendous dilemma for fans. I mean, I think, you know, the Bills aren't shedding any light on exactly what, you know, why this happened, but, you know, McDermott said you can assume what you want to assume. Almost has to be, unless there's something else egregious that happened between last November and, you know, now the suspension coming that we never heard about, which would also be awful. Yes, I think the suspension tells you the league looked into it and found that the claims that the pregnant partner at the time made were credible enough, even though she recanted and dropped the charges, that often happens in cases of domestic violence. They found cause to suspend him. And yeah, you'd like to have a cleaner conscience cheering on the old hometown team. So, you know, I feel every bit of passion that you delivered that commentary with. The bad news is there's really nothing to be done. I mean, the $28 million in dead money, even with a reworked contract for this year. I think they can walk away in the offseason, but there's no getting it. Like, him as a trade chip, it doesn't exist. And it's not just because of whether a team would find him palatable or helpful. It's just the Bills would have to find a way to stash money, more dead money, that they simply cannot afford. So you're going to have to put – we're all going to have to put our heads down and hope for the best. Get through 4 weeks, hope he comes back and makes some plays for you, and if your cheering is muted, maybe you'll have a lot of company in that. And again, I think that's a completely respectable place to be standing on it and be feeling about it, but I really don't think there's anything to be done here. You're just stuck. It happens. It's business, and it can be really ugly, and this is an example of it. Appreciate the call, and you know, raising the subject. 803-0550 is the number. Take a timeout here. Sal Capaccio coming at the top of the hour. Mike Shope is off today, along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and this is W.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.